Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckles Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by my goddamn self. Shout out to 319 Wine and Cheese in Tallahassee, my bar, best wine and cheese place on the planet, and of course, shout out to all my people here in Tallahassee, the city of champions. Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend we are seeing history once again. Mess with my headset a little bit. We're seeing history once again with Conor McGregor once again headlining another big, big UFC pay-per-view against the Stockton badass, Nate Diaz. It is going to be epic. I've already seen the weigh-ins, the press conferences. Man, it's just a huge, huge fight. I couldn't imagine how much bigger it would have been if it wasn't even on 2 weeks' notice. Plus, we have Holly Holm, the preacher's daughter, the one who took down Ronda Rousey, versus Rousey's old nemesis, the one who wants the belt, old smush face, big titty herself, Misha Tate. And on the line with me tonight to discuss the card and all that is going to go down, all that could happen, all that could shake up the MMA world. It is the latest, the greatest, the man that they still call Percy Love at 319 Wine and Cheese, the man who has a mixtape with T-Pain, the man who used to rap with Lil Wayne, the man who said, "God damn, I'm not going to be the same," the man who goes by one name. He is Mr. Paychecks himself. Yes, if you're getting paid, ladies and gentlemen, this man's probably writing your check, and that might not be good for America. He is Mr. Don't Give a Fuck, Slap Your Mama in Her Butt, Nate Diaz. No, Conor McGregor, middle fingers up. Irish fans, that's what's up. Time for you, UFC 196. Let's get it. The rest of you podcasts suck. What's up, Andrew Meredith? What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? I am, you know, fired up, first of all. I call it Fired Up Fridays because, you know, when you're working that corporate life, there's not a better time during the week than a Friday night. You're staring at the weekend in your face, 2 days of sleep, and then I am excited. And Ryan, to make things even better, we have, you know, currently, it's safe to say, clearly our favorite fighter to watch. The Conor McGregor Show is back in town.
His own
crazy
show.
To think, Ryan, crazy to think he's already fighting again. Just absurd. So I'm excited. And I got to say, Ryan, I'm very interested to see what the numbers are in this event. I know Jose Aldo, of course, was huge, but, you know, just the buzz from being out, and I had girls talking to me about the card and McGregor, and I mean, this is a pretty, you know, from talking, you know, getting an outside perspective from people who don't, you know, really follow mixed martial arts. You know, they kind of follow it, they'll watch it when it's on, but they knew and they are ready for this fight, Ryan. So I just cannot wait. It's kind of funny, like you said, to think, you know, we see all the antics and stuff. They're certainly doing a great job of selling the fight. Hard to imagine if, you know, they went on a world tour. I would love to see it. But, Ryan, I did want to ask you, so first thing off the bat, coming into this fight, question one, which fighter do you believe has more to lose? Question number two, what is your outlook going in the fight? How do you see it playing out? You know, what are some pros and cons for both guys to try and get the victory? And, let's kick it off with that.
To start it off, I think clearly, you know, I don't think Nate Diaz has a ton to lose in this fight. He got rich because of this fight. He's already making, I think, he made $20,000 a fight, and it's reported. I mean, he's probably going to make more off pay-per-view, but he's going to at least make $500,000 in this fight. I mean, that is like quadruple what he's been making. So he already has made it. You know, like that right there, that kind of makes Nate Diaz his career. And, you know, Nate Diaz, I feel like, is coming in that dangerous missile where if he loses, he always has that 2 weeks notice. So I was only fighting on 2 weeks notice, this, that. And if he wins, he has all the gains. Conor McGregor, once again, as in every fight he's fought, has everything to lose because he talks so much. And that's one thing that comes with the trash talking. You have to be able to back it up. Once you lose, what happens to that allure? What happens to that, you know, the people keep buying into your talk. The people keep, you know, Chael Sonnen could only go so far because the guy couldn't win the big fights. Conor McGregor, you know, it's 10 times his fighter, but he backs up his fighting. But what happens to the Conor McGregor show? We saw Ronda Rousey. We still don't know, you know, what's going to happen with her career after seeing her get knocked out. So I think Conor McGregor definitely has more to lose, even though he's going up so much in weight. He's, you know, taking all the chances in this fight. And most fight fans, you know, would look at it and say, hey, if he loses, he wasn't at his natural weight class. He still has a belt. He still, you know, is a dominant featherweight champion. But for the average fan out there that's going to buy a Conor McGregor pay-per-view, those are the ones that are going to look at it and say, ah, this guy lost. He's a bust now. So you got to think, that's how these fans think these days. It's no longer the old MMA
fighting, that's crazy.
It is crazy, but you got to think, Conor McGregor loses this fight. Look at Anderson Silva. How much bigger would his name have been if he would have knocked out Bisping in that third round? How much bigger of a fight would he have had? And this is Conor McGregor, a guy who's on that Anderson Silva-type run. You know, what would Anderson Silva's career be right now if Chael Sonnen would have beat him in that first fight? You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have changed a lot. And this is different because Conor McGregor has never lost under the UFC lights. He has everything to lose. But yet he still goes out there, he talks the shit, and he backs it up, and he's willing to fight whenever. As in the question you asked second, I've been watching some videos of both fighters. Obviously, I've seen all the Conor McGregor videos as he's been in the UFC, obviously. But I've been watching some Nate Diaz videos lately, especially his last fight. And I got to say, I think Nate Diaz might be the better striker of the Diaz brothers. He has a sick straight left hand, you know, a jab and a right, basically a left-right, a basic boxing technique. You know, it's the first technique they teach you, but he is absolutely sick at it. I mean, he landed it at will against Michael Johnson, who is a very athletic, you know, not as athletic as Conor McGregor, but he is a pure athlete. And Nate Diaz definitely has the better head motion, and I think overall might be more athletic, or maybe hasn't taken the beating to his body that Nick has lately in his career, as in the Carlos Condit fight when he couldn't move as good as Nate. I think all of us are going into this fight thinking Nate fights exactly like Nick. And I don't think that's the case after watching video. I think Nate is a much better mover. He's a much better just adjusting to people. But the one thing I'd have to say is when people are able to kick Nate's front foot, he does not know how to adjust to that. And that's when his boxing starts to suffer. And basically, other than that, wrestlers are the guys who give him trouble. But Nate has shown he can submit people off his back probably more than Nick. Remember the double middle fingers up he gave Melvin Gallard with the triangle choke? I mean, he submitted a lot of guys off his back, so he's dangerous in so many positions. Where this fight is going to take place is the interesting part, because Nate Diaz has shown he can use his reach, and the only guy who's been able to stand on the outside, because look at Donald Cerrone, he got picked apart trying to stand and kickbox with Nate Diaz. The only guy that stood on the outside and was able to beat Nate Diaz, Benson Henderson mixed up a good game plan, basically, but used wrestling. But the only guy that purely was able to outstrike from the outside was Josh Thompson, and that was really just a big shot that he landed. And that was when Nate was not really into fighting at that point. So I'm getting a little more worried as a Conor McGregor fan looking at the tape because of the reach, because of Nate's ability. And as Nate Diaz keeps saying, the guys that he trains with, Crone Gracie, the best jiu-jitsu guy on the planet right now, Joe Schilling, one of the best kickboxers in the world, his brother, Jake Shields, one of the best welterweights. You got to think, Nate is more used to fighting at this weight. This is Conor McGregor's first time fighting at 170. It is going to be interesting, Andrew, but I think also Conor McGregor, his movement, this is going to be the best test to date. We saw basically he was able to use what Nate Diaz is able to use on a lot of lightweights, his reach, his movement, but, you know, he's much more athletic. But on smaller guys, what is he going to do in the pocket against a bigger guy like Nate Diaz? Is he going to be able to get in and out and strike? Is he going to be able to use the kicks that he's been using? Is he going to get away from punches? Is he going to allow Nate Diaz to punch him in the face like he allowed Chad Mendes to land so many punches? And how is this fight going to take place if it goes deep into the third, fourth, fifth round? Is Nate really in the shape that he says? He looked kind of soft in the way in. I mean, he looked in shape, but not in his best shape. Conor McGregor looked absolutely shredded, but we haven't seen Conor go that deep into fights. Who wins the wrestling? Who wins the scrambles? There's so much into this fight that you have to look at. But in my opinion, I think Conor McGregor just has the better ring IQ, and I see him not being able to knock out Nate like he said he's going to in the first round, but I see him being able to adjust and finally, you know, having a game plan of attacking Nate's legs. I think he's going to take a little bit of punishment, but eventually KO Nate in the second or third round as Nate starts to basically, you know, get a little tired and get a little worn down and get a little tired of the antics of McGregor mocking him as he moves. But Conor cannot stay still and get drawn into a, basically like Michael Johnson did, get drawn into a, you know, brawl with Nate Diaz, because that's how Nate does it. He, you know, he uses his mouth, he uses his, you know, ability to trash talk in the ring. And we've already seen Conor get a little more upset, and he's used to getting people upset this week coming into the fight. So there's a lot to look into in this fight that people aren't thinking about. It's going to be an automatic Conor win. I'm not sure that's the case.
Oh, yeah, certainly, Ryan. You know, this is a very tough fight coming in. You know, and I just got to say, tip my cap to Conor McGregor. I mean, Ryan, this guy was going to fight RDA, and then when that didn't happen, now he's fighting
anybody.
Years, going up another 25. So I really do love that. Some of the biggest things I am looking that you were touching on, first and foremost, Ryan, number one has to be the jump in weight. I mean, this guy just didn't go one weight class. He went up two weight classes, completely different caliber of fighter. I feel like when you're talking 145 going up to 170. And also, it is going to be very interesting, you know, for the reach advantages that Ryan was talking about. Nate's got him for about 2 inches. This is finally the first time in Conor's career. How does he adjust? What does he do? How is his movement, as Ryan was talking about? Another thing I'm very interested to seeing in the cardio aspect, Nate Diaz is a guy, Ryan, he doesn't really get finished. I mean, he might get his ass kicked.
No,
there,
never.
But, I mean, RDA, did RDA finish him? I don't remember, but I know
decision.
I know it went whole time. Benson couldn't finish him, and it was a 5-round beating.
Only Josh
Thompson
was the only guy.
So it's going to be extremely interesting to see if Connor can't knock him out and we start seeing round 4 and 5. You know what I mean? We get to the shit. But the way Connor's career is going, we get to a round 3. I mean, granted, he was in a battle with Max Holloway and whatnot. So he has proven he can go the distance. And then one of my third biggest takeaways of this fight, Ryan, you were touching on, is the antics. You know, I will say with Nate's taking some ass kickings, you know what I mean? He keeps talking shit like you're going to get. The one thing I'd like to see is, you know, how would McGregor act if, you know, he's not having success early?
Yeah,
and Nate
if
is
starts landing on him.
Yeah, with Nate's antics and getting in Conor's McGregor's head, this is a fighter that we have never seen flustered in his career. So, you know what I mean?
I would say maybe Chad Mendez on top of him. Maybe flustered him, like in that first round, throwing elbows.
But he was still talking shit to him.
Yeah.
With me at him.
You had to think he was thinking, or I guess he did not get flustered, but somewhere in his mind he had to think, damn, this guy might be able to do this to me for 5 rounds. But maybe he never did think that. I don't know. Like, he's that confident. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, that's definitely, you know, a viable thought. I mean, we'll put it this way. That's you know, if there ever was a time in his career, you know, it is that. So, really, Ryan, I cannot wait for some of these points. But I did have, you know, another question.
Shoot.
Something that we were touching on earlier, even someone said it. You know, because me and this girl were talking about how McGregor might eventually start his own promotion. She was actually an MMA head, which I thought was kind of cool. But, you know, someone brought up, oh, well, if he loses, the common fan, because that's how the common fan are going to think about it. So let's look at it. Let's put it both ways, Ryan, and look at it from McGregor's perspective, the UFC's perspective, the fans' perspective. You know, say he wins the fight, you know, what would that catapult, you know, the UFC too, the McGregor's names, the fans, if he's able to go up to welterweight, the fact that it's Diaz, it might get, you know, it's not a champion. Will that, you know, the mainstream fans sour their view a little bit? And then on the flip side, if he loses, even though it's at 170, is the McGregor show done? What does that do to the UFC? Do they need to put all their eggs on John Jones' basket for having that number one megastar? Conor, of course, is always going to have Ireland's going to have his back. But, you know, to the McGregor fans, what type of hit do you think, you know, that would take? And if he loses, you know, with all, you know, with his quick-wittedness and whatnot, will we see another Ronda, you know, situation where kind of the whole world, you know, laughed in her face after she was brutally knocked out? And now people will she get the Ronda treatment. People don't even act like Ronda Rousey is still a top 5 pound-for-pound fighter.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even act like she could still, like, she's a bum. She's a joke. Because one loss in the sport of mixed martial arts is absurd.
One of the most ridiculous things I keep hearing nonstop, and I have to say, they keep saying, all these people that do the Fight Companion on the Joe Rogan podcast keep saying it. Oh, Ronda Rousey, she can't do anything. She can't do anything to adjust and beat Holly Holm. She'll never win that matchup. She'll always lose that matchup.
Yeah,
she's going to have to completely change her. You know, I agree she should change her trainer, but she's going to have to completely change her whole life, though, to beat Holly Holm. Please stop with that. It was one loss. And it just shows you what happens when a star like that gets beat in the fashion that she got beat. Yes, it was an utter dominant performance by a woman that we will touch on later in the show. But it doesn't mean that Ronda Rousey can't come out, grab Holly Holm, throw her on her head, and get her in an armbar like she's done so many other women. Just because she had one bad night doesn't mean that this girl, you know, the dominant performance, all of a sudden now everyone's saying she really didn't fight anybody. Come on, she fought everyone in the goddamn division. Stop with that. There's so much Ronda hate.
Yes.
Now, Andrew, think of this, though. Think of all the times where Conor McGregor has, you know, a fight has been changed or he wins, like when he beat Aldo. And think of the fighter's reaction. You see the articles on, like, Bleacher Report, oh, fighter's reaction on Twitter. It's always hate, or it's always, oh, he got lucky against Aldo. Oh, why is he taking the Nate Diaz fight, even though Nate Diaz whipped Donald Cerrone's ass? He should have fought Cerrone. Or Chad Mendes would have beat him if it wasn't on 2 weeks' notice. It's always hate. Think about the fighter's reaction. If Conor McGregor went out there and lost to Nate Diaz, they would not let him live it down. They would be on him nonstop, even though Conor McGregor is pumping the money into the UFC. So that's why I think right now, the way Conor McGregor and the UFC promote Conor McGregor, he can't afford to lose, especially this matchup. If it was Robbie Lawler, welterweight title, that's a different story. Okay, he lost to a guy who's so much bigger, has been a champion. Like, I think everyone who knows MMA has to respect if he lost that fight. Like, you have to. But if he came out and lost to Nate Diaz, a guy who's coming on 2 weeks' notice, you got to say, the McGregor show might be over. It just might be over. Like, it might just end right there. The interest might just be over. Or it could be the Mike Tyson effect. He lost, and after his loss, he got bigger. And you got to think, with McGregor's first loss, you have to always think there has to be that automatic rematch, as we've been trying to set up with Ronda versus Holly Holm, and how much bigger that Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor 2 would be, with a big buildup going into UFC 200, and we know the UFC knows how to spin it and all that stuff. I was going to say this,
that's
Andrew.
That's another great point, though, Ryan, you just brought up. And, yeah, I mean, if Conor loses, would you want an automatic rematch with Nate? Would he just vacate? Because you got to think, if he still wants to have the featherweight strap, he's going to have to fight. You know, you can't just put a whole division. You know what I mean? You either have to relinquish it or go back down and take a 145-pound fight. So it really does, you know, Ryan, kind of fuck the UFC. Would there be an automatic rematch? Would he vacate it, or would he try and take a lightweight fight? You know what I mean? Where would he go? What would they do?
The featherweight strap, you know, there's already a, what do they call it? I can't remember, but they always say it in the NBA. It's the first time I've seen it said in a MMA forum. That's why it's, like, so unusual. That's how big Conor is. Kind of like a rumor that he's not going to go back to 145. He came out and said that there's no challengers that interest him at 145. I think Conor McGregor is going to make the 145-pound division. I'm sorry, Frank Yeager, you're not going to sit on the sidelines and get that fight. It's not going to happen. Get out there and fight like Conor McGregor is. Prove. Keep whipping ass. That's what that guy should be doing. I know he deserves it. I completely agree he deserves a 145-pound title shot. But he needs to keep fighting. There's no sitting on the sideline anymore. And I think the UFC and Conor McGregor are going to come together and say, let's do an interim title. And it's going to be like a Frankie Edgar versus maybe Jose Aldo. Who knows who it will be. And then whoever wins that fight, maybe that will be when Conor McGregor cuts back down eventually and has maybe a Jose Aldo too, when it's absolutely huge and it's for the title once again. Or the Frankie Edgar, if he beats Jose Aldo, how much bigger that fight would be. But for him to jeopardize his body right now for a Frankie Edgar fight, when he can get the same numbers against a guy like Nate Diaz at 170, just does not make
100,
sense.
Ryan. He could probably get the same numbers against almost anyone in the McGregor show.
All right, here's my question I was about to bring up. Here's my question that I was about to bring up. And it's a little scary to me. It scares me a little bit because I love the McGregor show. I'm following it. I'm watching the embedded. I'm watching all the press conferences. I even watched the weigh-ins a little bit today. That's how big the McGregor show is. I've never watched the weigh-in in my life. My God, did McGregor look big as a motherfucker. He looks huge. That dude looks like he's been powerlifting with Ronnie Coleman. But looking at this fight, I think it's going to be huge. The Irish fans are there. They're already going crazy. Nate Diaz is a great promoter. The trash talking on Fox Sports was magnificent. You had to blank out every single word. If you watch that interview and you're not interested in the fight, you're an absolute idiot or you just don't like the sport. But what if this fight just completely fails on pay-per-view? What if it only, you know, not fails, but what if, you know, his last few fights have been doing a million? Yeah, maybe not boring, but what if it only does like 500,000 on pay-per-view compared to what he's done a million in the last fight and breaking records here and there? What happens if this fight falls short? You know, what happens if it just doesn't do the pay-per-view numbers? What does the UFC do then? Do they keep paying Conor McGregor what they pay? Do they let the fans know? How does the media react to Conor McGregor? Like, does that show people are becoming disinterested in him? Do you think there's a possibility that that happens?
The only way I see that happening is if A, he lost, or if B, he fought just someone who...
Just this fight.
You know
fight,
what I mean?
Like,
someone who
I'm
had no... no thing. But
general.
This fight, I really don't see it happen, but I couldn't think of anything else but utter shock. If this fight doesn't sell on live, then yeah, I mean, you have to reevaluate what you're paying Conor. And if anyone, I'm sure, would take a shot to the ego the most, who would hurt is Conor, because honestly, I think that's what he prides on the most. You know, Ryan, it's funny, you're interesting talking about fighting a lot. It's something true with Conor McGregor. Conor and Ante is about, he's got his priorities straight. When he cares about the cash. You know what I mean? Fighting for
my
a belt.
My checks weigh more than my belt.
Exactly. He's not, but you know what I mean? And if he's going to stop, and honestly, if Conor McGregor, I kind of like it, the new style he comes with, Ryan, thinking about it. Instead of a guy who's just fighting for the belt, and then, okay, I'm just going to, you know, go on that belt run like we see so many guys fighting the same guys over and over again. You know what I mean? Like those same
fighting
four or
everyone.
Five fighters. You know what I mean? But instead of that, he's going to go around, shop around, and take mega super fights that the fans are interested in. I mean, if he wins this fight, he's probably going to, he's already said he wants to fight Robbie Lawler. I mean, and I don't care. Sorry, Carlos Condit. Sorry, you know.
Sorry, everybody.
Dexter. But I'm sorry. Sorry, all other welterweights. The murderer. But you got to give that fight to Conor. You know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, Dana already said he would. He said he can't deny Conor. Straight up said it.
You got to love, though. Don't you kind of like that? It's something fresh and reinvigorating. It's honestly something that the UFC really needs. And Conor cannot. I don't even say Conor. I'll say the UFC cannot afford to have Conor lose this fight.
I love Conor seeing Dana admit it. First time ever.
Yeah.
I've seen Dana admit it. Like, yeah, I can't deny this guy at this point. He takes fights. He takes fights whenever we need him to take fights. He makes money. Dana White straight up admitted it at the press conference. Somebody said, would you give him the Robbie Lawler fight? And he said, yeah, I can't deny Conor at this point. If he keeps winning, I can't deny him. I mean, the guy fights anybody at any time. That was refreshing to hear. It wasn't the Dana White controls everything show, blah, blah, blah. No, it was, we're partners. You know what I'm saying? The UFC always talks about that. Oh, we're partners with our fighters. But this is the first time we're actually seeing a guy get everything he wants. He wanted his belt on the poster. He called the belt. He said he wanted the guy fired who made the RDA poster. And the next week, the belt was on the poster after Dana White said, oh, his belt's not on the poster because he's not defending the featherweight belt. All of a sudden, the next week, Conor wants it. His belt was on the poster. That is
why would you not put the belt on the poster?
It was such
like,
an easy
I'm
move.
Just saying from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you want a belt there? You know, but Ryan, something I did want to touch on. You know, we just got hit with the 15-minute warning. I know we can't get sucked up because we're talking Conor McGregor. Real quick, and we'll loop on back to McGregor. Let's quick touch on this, you know, Miesha Tate fight. First of all, going into the fight, Ryan, I don't know how Miesha somehow got her 10th life. I know Kat's only had 9 lives. Misha used up all 9, but she somehow got her 10th. And
goddamn Misha has, and those tits.
She somehow got another title shot. Pun intended. But going on, Ryan, so A, if Misha Tate, first off, if she wins the belt, you know, this is a girl we've seen lose.
All
you know,
of a sudden, Ronda Rousey wants to fight again.
Right? Ronda will take that UFC 200. But first of all, first question I just see. So stylistically, do you think Misha is a tougher fight for Holly than Ronda? How do you think, you know, Holly is going to finally, you know, because you got to think Holly's got a lot on this line, too. You know, if she loses, then, you know, she might just be remembered as, hey, you remember that girl that beat Ronda Rousey, you know what I mean?
Instead yeah, like name Bruno, or not Bruno, like homeboy who beat Tyson then got knocked out by Evander Holyfield. I mean, that was a very nice fight he took, you know, Buster Douglas. Very next fight. Sorry, go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead. I mean,
Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson when Tyson was unbeatable. His very next fight, instead of rematching Tyson, he fought Evander Holyfield, and he got knocked out in the first round, and no one ever heard of him again.
Exactly. And I mean, so, you know, and I heard Holly talk about it, not wanting that pressure. So, Ryan, let's look at it from both perspectives. Cut it down 4 ways. A, we'll start with Misha. You know, if she wins, this will solidify, you know, Misha right now with her career run.
She's an all-time great woman. Like, woman.
But I feel like she's in that second tier. I feel like you think Ronda first, then you think, you know, Cyborg. Of course,
the 115 pounders, you know, they got to be.
Yeah, the Karate Hottie, and even you think of Gina Carano before Misha Tate. However, if she is able to win the UFC belt, I mean, that would drastically change, you know, her legacy, you know what I mean, her career. So let's look at it. If she wins, what will it do for her career? If she loses, you know, hopefully we can finally just shut the goddamn book on Misha Tate, but not her tits.
No.
And then, like, working with Holly Holm, if she wins, you know, depending, do you think Holly Holm needs to, you know, get buzz again? She needs to win in, you know, dominant fashion. And, you know, just what happens with Holly if she wins and loses? So let's break down the fighters or what happens next with both scenarios in play.
Let me start with this. I keep hearing by MMA experts, Holly Holm could be as big as Ronda Rousey. It's not Ronda Rousey, you know, it's Holly Holm went out there and just dominated the chicks the next 5 fights. She would be as big as Ronda Rousey. No, she won't. Ronda Rousey was a personality. She was going out there saying, she said to Holly Holm, you ain't a preacher's daughter, you fake-ass bitch. You can't get that kind of shit. Like, that's what sells fights. I'm sorry. That's fucking awesome when somebody says that. I want to see that person fight. Misha Tate said, me and Holly Holm are making friendship bracelets while Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor are flicking each other off underneath the table. I'm sorry, but this is the kind of shit I hate about Misha Tate. Oh, let me play all friendly to my opponent. And that's now what we have as our champion at Holly Holm. The girl who doesn't want to talk trash. She just wants to get it done in the ring. Yeah, we have champions like that. They're called Demetrius Johnson, and they don't make any money. I'm sorry, Holly Holm. I love you. You're a good champion. You're not the best-looking chick in the world or anything like that. You have the whole
doable, though.
Yeah, definitely doable. You have the whole preacher's daughter thing going on, blah, blah, blah. You need to make a porn tape to get big, I think. I think that's the next step in your career. But you are never going to be Ronda Rousey. I'm sorry. You could beat her again. Chris Weidman's never going to be Anderson Silva. Exactly.
Well, Ronda was the first. She was the trailblazer.
Chris Weidman is big as Anderson Silva. No, he wasn't, and he beat him twice. It's just, he is not Anderson Silva. You don't have another Anderson Silva. You don't have another Ronda Rousey. So So I think that's going to haunt Holly Holm throughout her career, no matter what she does. I think if she does dominate Ronda in the second fight, it's going to do a lot. But still, I think it might hurt women's MMA without that Ronda Rousey. You know, we're going to see in this fight. This fight, everyone said Holly could have her own pay-per-view. Well, she's not. She's on a Conor McGregor undercard. So we're going to see, you know, the crowd reaction to Holly Holm. I don't know how they're going to really test it out because it's a Conor McGregor pay-per-view. It's going to be big. But putting her on this card is a great strategic move because so many more eyes are going to be on it. So that's what's going to be big for both these fighters. It's going to be a huge pay-per-view. All right. So
ever remember how long it took Ronda to get her own pay-per-view?
Yeah, it didn't take very long at all. It was her first championship fight, right?
Didn't it take her a couple fights to get her own pay-per-view?
No, it was the first 135-pound fight, wasn't it? The Gaethje
fight. Was she the main event? I remember
yeah.
for a while they had her as some co-main event.
She was the main event the first fight, and then she was underneath Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva, I think, in one fight. And then she had her own pay-per-views, but she did start off as her own pay-per-view.
Okay,
I remember that very first
fight. Sure.
But it was a stacked card, too, I remember. There was another championship fight on there. It was the first women's championship fight ever. So, I mean, that was, like, a significant pay-per-view. But still, this is the girl who just knocked out Ronda Rousey in a stadium in Australia. So it's a lot different than Ronda Rousey just coming into the UFC. You know, this is she fought on a way bigger platform. Okay, like breaking it down, the first question you were saying, is this a harder fight? I keep hearing people say, yes, this is the harder fight. There's really no proof to that because I think if Ronda Rousey fought her best day, there's no way you can say Miesha Tate is the harder fight. But stylistically, if you compare Ronda in her last fight to what Miesha Tate is capable of bringing, then yes, this could be a harder fight for Holly Holm. Just because Miesha Tate has that straight wrestling ability, but you can't say she's a better takedown artist than Ronda Rousey. And the only thing she has going is she's tough as hell. She doesn't run like a wild maniac like Ronda Rousey does. She's going to strike smartly. And if she does get Holly Holm down, the rumor is Holly Holm does not love jiu-jitsu. And Miesha Tate completely does. And Miesha Tate, if she can get Holly Holm's back or get the right position, she might be able to submit Holly Holm. And if Miesha Tate is able to drag this into the third, fourth round, you never know. She might be able to win the rounds and be able to get a decision. She's a durable fighter, and she definitely has the ability to be able to beat Holly Holm. I don't think we've seen Holly Holm in her other fights. She wasn't as impressive as she was against Ronda Rousey. It might have been a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Even though you got to say with her background, Holly Holm is probably the best striker in women's MMA, maybe other than Cyborg, and the 15-pound champion. She's a pretty big, badass Muay Thai champion.
Yeah, and that is a great breakdown. Ryan, real quick, I'm pulling it up right now. I'm waiting for the internet to quick pull up. I'm going to go ahead and get the rest of the fights. Off the top of your head, do you remember any of the other fights?
Yeah, I got Diego Sanchez versus Jim Miller.
Ooh.
Some reason this fight is on Fight Pass. It's kind of like one of these guys should retire if they lose, but it's going to be entertaining as fuck as it goes on. Who do you got, Andrew?
I got, I'm going to go with Diego Sanchez. Why not? I haven't really followed him or Jim Miller recently, but I'm just going to go with Diego.
How funny is it Diego thought he could beat Conor McGregor after Conor fought Dennis Hever? And then, like, he's never talked shit again after the Chad Mendes fight. I believe this fight.
I say, though, I'm disappointed in this card from head to toe when I look at it.
Horrible card. Horrible. I love the Diego fight. But it's on fucking Fight Pass, so none of us are going to watch it. I got Diego Sanchez. But looking at it, Andrew, Elkins versus Shelby, Miranda versus, I can't even say the name, Silva versus Taleb. I want to see Eric Silva fight. I'm excited about that.
Thatch
versus fucking, I can't pronounce the name. A woman's fight I don't care about. Some guy named Anderson I've never really fought, seen fight versus Tom Lawler, I don't care about. Two 205-pounders I absolutely do not care about. And then the great main events, Holly Holm, Tate, and McGregor versus Diaz. Horrible card, but the two main fights really do make up for it.
Let's bring it back, Ryan. I know this is Connor, but would you buy this pay-per-view?
Absolutely. It's Conor McGregor. I mean, and also you have Holly Holm, Misha Tate. I think that's just going to be an absolute war. Like, but because it's Conor McGregor, it's like the Mike Tyson effect, man. Like, everyone knew Tyson. I mean, I don't know this about McGregor, but when Tyson was on his run, everyone knew he was knocking people out in 2 minutes, but you wanted to see that fight. Everyone knew Floyd Mayweather would be boring. I didn't want to buy those fights personally, but a lot of people did because it was the historic fact. That's what Conor McGregor brings to the table. Some of the fights that kind of stick out, Andrew, Eric Silva versus Nordine Taleb from France. Eric Silva finally off the juice. He has a soft body now, but he's an exciting fucking fighter. Who you got winning that fight?
I'm going to go with Eric Silva. I honestly do not know anything about the challenger. I'm going to go with Eric Silva just off of his style and his potential. I don't know anything about Taleb. One thing I will say I'm interested, even though I don't know a lot of these fighters, Ryan, and, you know, as much as we bitch about the UFC, about prospects, so it will be interesting at least, I hope for their sake at least, you have all these no-name fighters, and it could be a move to try and build them a name, you know, if they look good so people will turn in. But I'm hoping that all these guys who I have no idea who they are, one of them, at least one of them, has a spark and a potential, and I want to follow his career.
Yeah. I was even going to just break down the fights, but looking at them, there's not one top 10 matchup, not one, other than the two main events. There's not one fight where in the UFC rankings, both guys are ranked in the top 10. That's a disgrace. I'm just saying that you can't come up with one top 10 matchup in a pay-per-view this big other than the two main events. I mean, come on. Why are you throwing everything on Fox and Fox Sports and you can't throw us, I mean, even the last few cards, you can't throw one of those fights on this card? I'm just saying that's bad. I don't like that the UFC is doing it. I mean, that's horrible. Some of the fights on this are embarrassing for a pay-per-view. If you're going to call yourself the Super Bowl, you can't have Ali for whatever
the name is
as your third main event.
They're ruining the McGregor show.
It is.
Are any of these other fighters on the card from Ireland real quick? We got about 2 minutes left.
No, and that's the strange thing. Usually they have the Matrix fight, that welterweight that he trains with, or Lebdov, whatever his name is, or that chick fighter that was on The Ultimate Fighter, but none of them are on the card. Andrew, they always say, Conor McGregor couldn't promote because he wouldn't have the fighters to promote with him if he went by himself. My last thought is, this would be what a card would look like if Conor McGregor went and started his own promotion. He would have the same quality of fighters, maybe better, if he started his own promotion. And that's what I got
to
say
about
this card. I got Conor McGregor by knockout, and I got Misha Tate pulling the upset by submission in the fourth round.
I got, I like it. Love to see that happen. I got Conor McGregor with a third round TKO, hoping for another Jose Aldo effect. And I got Holly Holm just because I really don't want to pick Misha Tate. But Ryan, let's just get it real quick. We're about to get cut off, but there's only
one Conor McGregor. There's only one Conor McGregor.